I have on the phone our first guest of the day from Delamay, that rhymes. Kimber, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. We're speaking to Kimber Ludeker. I said your name correctly. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, great. And you have a little old band called Delamay. And let me just tell everybody out there that's listening, it's on Rounder Records. Great album. It's called This World Oft Can Be. And I've been playing it for days. I finally got it in the mail the other day so I could hear the whole thing. I'd heard bits and pieces of it. This is such a great, it's such a great album. It's such a great sound. You all have your own. It's very distinct. You know, you don't have to enter into a bluegrass field of music and try to be different. Well, we were just talking about John Cowan. You know, he's right there in bluegrass, but John has his own style recognizable. And I think that Delamay is instantly recognizable from the opening cuts of almost any tune that you have out there, and that's an accomplishment.
Definitely. I mean, I think that John Cowan's been a good inspiration in my life and in music in general, kind of a prime example of taking, you know, who you are and making music that fits what the members individually sound like and trying to make something out of that rather than trying to fit into a certain category or sound.
Yeah. I noticed on the album cover, you're the only one with headphones on. Why is that?
Wait, me? Yeah. No. I think that's Celia.
Wait a minute. All right. Well, it's over there. It's on the corner of my desk. Maybe I'm not looking at it correctly. I've got the thing out. I always like to have the CD and pick them up and look at them, but I'm just kidding around. So, you know, and I have...
Yeah, there's some headphones laying around. We're inside of a recording studio in Nashville. Not where we recorded, but we were kind of using that space to take photos.
Oh, okay.
There's all kinds of recording gear, and when you have five girls running around, you know, we're going to get into something. So we found a bunch of headphones, and there's a couple pictures where Celia's holding the headphones.
And I got you.
Courtney has the jack.
You're right. You're right. You know, in the first half hour, I played that only because I have the album now, and I've seen the video so many times. There's a great video, folks, and I post it, I don't know, every couple of days now, of Empire, which is just such a fun, fun video. And I wanted to ask you a little bit before we got into the album. How do you get what happens? What goes into, do you get a call that somebody wants to make a video? What goes into initiating that? Cause it's just it's a great music video for that song.
Thank you. Yeah. That video, actually, there's a guy on the Rounder crew, he made the video for us. He's just a fantastic film guy, and we've been working with him a lot, but we've never really... he flew down to Nashville and hired another guy as a camera operator, and that was actually at the end of the album photo shoot, and at the end of a long, long day, I think we were into hour 12 or something, he was like, let's make a video.
I got a camera.
And we did it. You know, it didn't take very long. It's just kind of a performance video, which is what we like about it. But, yeah, Matt Butler is the name of the guy who made the video for us. And we just kind of did it on a whim. And we actually just made another one that was really fun in Boston a few weeks ago. We made a video for Letter from Down the Road.
Oh, yeah.
And that one took place in a Candlepin bowling alley.
Well, you got to do that.
Yeah, it was really fun. So hopefully that one will be out in a few weeks. But that stuff is too much fun.
Well, you look like you're having fun. I had no idea it was 12 hours into a recording session because you look like you're ready to rock and roll.
Well, it was like 12 hours into a photo shoot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
12 hours of pictures?
Not recorded. We were in a recording studio.
Oh, I got you. All right. So you're, I understand that. You did say that. So you had your picture dead for 12 hours.
Yeah. Well, not actually 12 hours of taking photos, but there's, you know, five women and had to get our hair and makeup done. And that stuff takes a long time. I didn't know. I didn't know about any of that. You know, it's the first time that the band has, I mean, we just signed around records and their first label released, and we just did it up. But none of us had ever had anybody doing our hair and makeup or It was pretty wild.
That's pretty cool. So now you're
the ultimate dream of any lady to be pampered like that.
So now you're big time. Now you're on Rounder and you got videos out and you just did another video and you got people doing your hair and stuff. And now you're in the high life.
Well, we're all just pretty normal people. Our families have been liking to tease us, like, I just saw you on TMT. And like, don't be thinking you need any royal treatment or anything. And
well,
we're really lucky to be a band of people who are really grounded, and you know, nothing's changed so far.
Well, that's a good chance to talk. And I've just been kind of messing around with you over the album label and all that stuff. But let's talk about the band and let's tell everyone out there about the band, the members, and you mentioned how John Cowan was and his approach to music, I guess, is at least an inspiration to you. But let's tell a little people about the band itself and what kind of a sound you're trying to get. If you can put it in words, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, I started the band about 3.5 years ago, and I just, you know, I really wanted to showcase ladies in the acoustic music world and in bluegrass who had, you know, mad skills on their instruments, I guess. I don't know how else to put it, but you know, just kind of creating something that really is a showcase for the women side men in bluegrass and in acoustic music. And it actually sort of started out as a joke. I don't know if you've heard that side of the story, but
I have not, but I'm going to now, right?
Yeah, my friend Amanda Kowalski, who is the original bass player in the band, she and I were at a fiddle camp, actually a music camp in California called Shasta Music Camp. And so we were in Mount Shasta, and we were just kind of hanging out one night with our friend Abigail Washburn, and, you know, both of those. Amanda was the original bass player of Uncle Earl, and we were about how, you know, how, I guess, Hot Rise and Red Knuckles and the Trailblazers, you know, they kind of have this alter ego, and we were joking around about how great it would be to have a super traditional bluegrass band playing high-energy, high-testosterone music, but a band of all women wearing, like, power suits, and we're just kind of joking around about how fun that would be, and they were like, "Well, yeah, you've got to call the band Big Spike Hammer, because what could be more high testosterone, you know, just mashing traditional bluegrass than that? Like that's what it has to be." And we were laughing about it, and then when Amanda and I got back home to Boston, I called her up and I said, "You know, I've been thinking about that late night conversation, and I think it'd be really fun to do. We should just get some girls together." And I booked a gig at a local bluegrass night at a bar called the Cantab in Boston. And we did it, and it was so much fun. We didn't really do the whole suit thing, but it was just a lot of fun.
Did you perform under Big Spike Hammer? But did you actually use Big Spike Hammer as a name?
No, Big Spike Hammer was the original name, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then, you know, we were talking and decided, well, that'd be really fun to try to pursue as a project, but in a more serious way, you know, with a serious music and, I don't know, just not as a joke, basically.
Yeah.
And we decided Big Spike Hammer wasn't probably the most marketable name, so we changed it to Della May, who is the character in the song Big Spike Hammer by the Osborne Brothers.
Sure. Well, you know,
and that's how we are. Right, almost 4 years later.
Right after I played Empire, I played Della May from the Osborne Brothers, just because I get it.
Yep, that's where it comes from.
And you know, but though, really, if you think about it, Big Spike Hammer, you might get in some interesting rooms with that name with no other explanation.
That's true.
You might have a mosh. That's very true. You might have a mosh pit in front of you before you know it.
You know, we've had a mosh pit before. No, not really. But
okay,
that would be. We play for standing crowds, but there's no crazy things happening.
All right.
By the way,
Mary, this will tie into what we're going to talk into in a little bit. Mary Burdett says hi.
Oh, love Mary Burdett.
She's listening in. So there, we got that covered. And you know, you may not know. Have I told you this? I'm going to, for whatever reason, they've asked me to come up and broadcast up at Gray Fox. So I said, yeah. So I'm going to be there. I'll have a booth and I'll be doing, again, whatever it is that I do on this show. I've never been quite sure, but I'll be doing it up there. So I will see, I think I'll see the whole band up there at some point. We'll be available for interviews and whatnot. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. But we'll all talk to you.
Yeah.
So you have.
I have lots of microphones. I will have no one to do your hair, though.
Oh, bummer.
You're going to have to do your own
hair. I guess
hair.
For radio.
Radio, see, it doesn't matter or else I wouldn't
really
be doing it.
It doesn't matter what you look like.
It doesn't matter or I wouldn't be doing it.
You know, Gray Fox for us has been one of the most important, not only festivals, but groups of people that we've ever met. You know, it's kind of our home region festival, and they're the first festival to take a chance and hire us, you know, basically before anybody had ever even heard the band. And, you know, we've really found a home at Gray Fox, and the people who run the festival, the people who go to festivals are the nicest that you'll ever meet, and we're really excited. We're counting down the days.
Well, that's a beautiful, this is so easy. Sometimes guests, you know, I have to kind of like lead them on, but I just throw out a word, Gray Fox, and you go right where I wanted to go. I knew you, well, it's just easy. This is like throwing softballs. You know right where to go. I wanted to talk about Gray Fox. I knew that you had a special connection with those people in that festival. So there, you just kind of touched on it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You'll be playing up there. I know the final schedule came out, or as final as it gets, but do you know what date you're going to be playing up at Gray Fox?
Yeah, we'll be there Friday and Saturday. We are really excited to be playing right before the Del McCurry Band on the main stage on Friday. And then we have a 10 p.m. dance tent slot at, Saturday.
That's where the mosh pit is.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah. Last year, Rashad Eggleston was standing on our bass player Shelby's bass. So we have a lot to live up to this year in that tent.
Hey, would you like to be streamed live over the show on Friday night?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, we're getting it together.
We're in.
Well, you're in. I'd like to say that I have it all ready and packaged to go, but you know, I'm kind of flexible on that stuff, but we're going to have all kinds of wires and pieces of equipment, and I will have the time reserved on that Friday, and so when you're ready to go, we will be doing this live, and you'll be going over over the air for Friday. I mean, my show is Saturday afternoon, but I'm going to have a lot more time available, so we'll be doing some live broadcasting, and you can't back
out.
That's great. Now. Yeah, you're going to be part of the show, so that'll be cool. Hey, who else is in the band? I know who you are. I know you're wearing glasses. I know you're sitting. I'm not as dumb as I may sound, but let's talk about the current band on this new album, This World Oft Can Be.
Sure. Yeah, this album is really the first. This is our second album, and it's the first time, like, all of the songs are very collaborative, and they wouldn't sound what they sound like now without any, you know, one of the girls' inputs on it. Celia Woodsmith and Courtney Hartman share a lot of the writing credit, and Celia's been kind of a good songwriter for the group. 10 out of the 12 songs on the last album were written by Celia. So, you know, we kind of just used and reworked a lot of songs that she had already written in the first album. But this album, everybody, you know, all the songs were written for the album, basically.
You know, that's kind of unusual, because for a first, especially for a first major release, and I understand that you're saying that some of these songs you had and may have tweaked them a little bit for this release on Rounder, but they have 10 out of 12, you know, songs from the group, originate from the group on a first major release. I think it's pretty unusual. Most people kind of take, you know, pull in some of the old things and jazz them up.
Yeah, well, our first record was 10 out of the 12, all original. On this one, we have, I think it's, we do one song by Sarah Siskind that's really great. Our mandolin player, Genuine Gardner, she had heard that song at the Station Inn several years ago when she used to live in Nashville, and loved it, fell in love with that song. And Brian Sutton, our producer, brought that song to us when we were looking for some covers to do. And it seemed kind of like fate, you know. So Genuine sings lead on that one. another cover that we have on the album is a beautiful song that Shelby Means, our bass player, sings lead on. It's the last track of the album, and that one is called Some Roads Lead On, and that one was written by Shelby and Courtney's mentor, one of their mentors in Wyoming, a guy named Bill McKay. And we recorded that one in the old cabin part of the Cash Cabin studio right in front of the fireplace where, you know, tons of great music has been made by so many legends over the years. So that has a good spirit to it, I think.
How long did it take you? First of all, about how long did it take you to record this album?
We were there, I think it was maybe 12 days of tracking. We were kind of on site and in Nashville for almost 2 weeks. We wanted to really take our time, and we all camped out together, and Shelby Means had just joined the band about a month before, and it was kind of our, we all hopped in a van from Boston and drove overnight to Nashville as kind of like our pilgrimage and bonding with, you know, the current five ladies in the band. So it was a great experience. You know, Brian was incredible in the studio. There's probably no other musician that has logged as many hours as he has behind a microphone.
Well,
he's
everybody's
incredible.
He's everybody's if you need a guitar player in Nashville.
Definitely.
You know, get Brian. He can play anything.
Yeah, he can play. He can play anything.
Yep.
So he's a big, big hero of ours, not only musically, but just how he conducted the session. And, you know, he did such a fantastic job and with such a great sounding board, had great arrangement ideas, and we were so lucky to have him.
Well, when you went into this project, how many songs did you have, like, available to choose from?
Oh, man, we went through, we had a hand, you know, a bucket full of originals, and then we went through, I don't know how many songs to consider for covers, you know, just like a million songs. I feel like we listened to almost 100 or something songs that were kind of pitched to us. And for a band that writes so much of their own material, I think it's really hard to find something that you feel like fits with your, I don't know, what you're going for, you know? So we found, I think the first one that we really found that we loved was Letter from Down the Road.
Okay.
And Laura Boosinger is that song.
Yeah.
And we just fell in love with it. And Courtney wrote a fiddle tune to go to the end of it. So it kind of morphed into an old-timey fiddle tune.
Well,
but I got to play on John Hartford's fiddle.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's my favorite track out of the whole album.
You know, that just has to be, you know, it's funny because you're in it as a performer and an artist, but then part of you has to, and I'm always curious about this part of it. Part of it is after you're done, you got to sit back and think, I was playing John Hartford's fiddle.
Oh, I was thinking about that the entire time. it was a complete and welcome distraction. You know, while I was sitting there, it was the most surreal moment. You know, you're sitting in I think I was standing up in front of a microphone, you know, in front of, my fiddle zone was in front of the fireplace in the old part of the cabin.
Wow.
They kind of built onto the cabin, to expand the recording studio. But, you know, I was standing there, and there's memorabilia all around. There's this beautiful picture of Johnny and June right above me, and I'm looking through a window at the rest of the girls in their respective spaces, but I just have John Hartford's fiddle in my hand, and it was, man, it's cool.
It has to be one of the best
musical experiences I think I've ever had.
Well, you have twice, by the way, in the first half hour, I played Empire, but you've twice talked about Letter from Down the Road and other things, I think. We can play that tune if you want to take a minute, and then we'll come back after that.
That'd be great.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's do that. We're talking to Kimba Ludeker from Delamay, and they have a great new album, and we're going to play, actually, this is the first cut on the album, Letter from Down the Road / doesn't actually say slash, but it's a slash and other things. Let's play that tune. We'll be right back in a second. All right. That was the number one cut off of the new album from Delamay, Letter from Down the Road and Slash and Other Things. So, and we're back with Kimber. So that's kind of cool.
Hi.
Yeah. So we were chatting. You know, people think we just go away. When I play a song, I just keep talking with people and get a little more information and nothing super secret, but we're just having a good time talking about stuff. And the album is just, it has to have been, you know, I told you during the break how much I've enjoyed it, but I got a feeling that I'm not the only person that enjoyed it. I got a feeling you're getting a lot of good positive feedback on this.
We are, you know, we've been really lucky, just how the music community has been embracing the band. And we're just really excited. I mean, we were in Rolling Stone on the website a couple of days ago. We've had the incredible opportunity of our music video being on TNT, and things are just going really well.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know what, and I saw the thing from Rolling Stone, and if you're in Rolling Stone, it's like what Oscar Wilde says. There's, you know, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. So as long as you're getting some continuous exposure, and Delamay, the band is out there, you know, getting plugged. That's great because it's, first of all, they're going to hear the name, but then they're going to hear the music and they're going to think, oh, that was worth tracking down. That was a lot of fun. And this is not, as you said, Big Spike Hammer, you wanted to avoid that name because you wanted to make sure everybody knew that you weren't trying to have this is not a novelty act, folks. This is a serious band.
Yeah, and we know, I mean, kind of creating this band, there's been so many bands in the past that are made of all women, and you know, it just seems that the staying power hasn't always been very good. Like, they break up, or it's not their main project, or something happens. You know, the guitar player that we started out with had a baby, and she's amazing. Her name's Audrey Smith, but it's hard to, you know, very, very well probably know that women can have babies, and it's an unconventional lifestyle that we live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really unconventional. You know, I got home a couple of days ago to Nashville, and the last time I was home was May 10th. So. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a little crazy, this life. But we're having such a great time, and all of our family and significant others or whatnot, they're all very supportive of us. And, you know, we love doing what we do. We love, you know, there's so much work involved in it, but we don't feel like actually performing or getting to play a show is work.
Well, and we talked about the Empire video, which was done, you know, I guess professionally, but there's so many YouTube videos that people can watch, and you're always having a good time. You're always enjoying it. I mean, you're never phoning it in. You're just out there always high energy and putting everything into every song from what I've seen. And there's quite a few of them out there.
Yeah. We're very grateful for the opportunities that we've gotten and to be able to do what we love for a living. There's not a whole lot of people that can really say that. That love going to work and love, just really wholeheartedly love what they're doing. And, you know, we're just so lucky. We tell each other, like, if anybody is having a sour attitude or anything, it's like, all it takes to get out of that is just reminding ourselves, like, this is what we get to do for a living, and it's so cool.
Yeah. I have to tell you this. Mary Burdett, first of all, she sent me two messages. She says, again, said, hey, she's listening to everything great. Then she sent me another one that says, if it fits with the interview, well, of course it does. This is the one thing I am is very, very flexible. So here's what Mary's question is, and you got to see this coming. I'll just read it. If it fits with the interview, this is from Mary. Ask her about the State Department tour of the Stan countries.
Yeah.
Now, let's fill that out a little bit. I mean, that's kind of came out of, Mary would have known that and mentioned it. She'd have a lot of good stories of, apparently you went to, you went to Kazakhstan, and I can't pronounce these, Pakistan.
We went to, okay, so about a year ago, we decided that we really wanted to do some kind of a service project as a band. And we had heard about this program called American Music Abroad. Some of our friends went on the tour, and we applied. All you have to do is go to the website and fill out an application. And there's about 400 applicants, and they choose 35 to 40 to do a live audition. They have a couple locations around the United States for that. So we actually, we found out we got the the live audition, and we had to change some flight. We were on our way to Wintergrass Bluegrass Festival in Bellevue, Washington, which is my home state. Great festival out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we were on our way to to play that, and we ended up having to make a stop in New York City to do our audition. And then we hopped on a plane after that, and it was pretty crazy, but the audition was so cool. We had to play and kind of get interviewed and do demonstrations of how we might be able to communicate or teach somebody about music or bluegrass without being able to speak.
Well, I was going to say, there has to be language issues.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely language issues. So we actually, we had a great time at the live audition, and we found out maybe like a month later that we were chosen for the program. And the way it works is that you don't know where you're going. That's part of the thing. They send out 10 to 12 bands to just basically areas that have a tricky relationship with the United States. So we were chosen to go to South and Central Asia, and we went to Pakistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan.
You know why they don't tell you where you're going, don't you?
It was amazing because initially when our fans and friends and family found out we were going to Pakistan, people were very concerned for us. Telling us like we can't go, it's too dangerous, we shouldn't go. We met with the State Department for a briefing before we left, and none of the girls had, we're like, this is happening for a reason. We're being sort of called to do this.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
We want to go, we'll try to calm the fears of our parents and people who are worried. And we went, and it was one of the best experiences it's just life-changing and worldview-altering. We were met with such hospitality and kindness and love, and people over there are so generous, even though they might not have anything.
Mm-hmm.
We went to this village in Islamabad, Pakistan, and we were walking up through the village, and some guy came out and offered us water, and then a lot more people kind of like started coming out of their homes, and this family invited us in and opened their fridge, and there was two things in the fridge, and one of them was a bottle of Mountain Dew. And they poured us all a glass of Mountain Dew.
Wow.
And we sang a song for them, and they, one of the little girls of the family sang a beautiful poem. It's there by the national poet of Pakistan. And, just seeing how the music culture is there, even, where every single person identifies with the music as a culture, which is, something that the United States doesn't have. There's not really, it's such a...
So diverse.
There's so many different kinds of music, and... I don't know if that's a culturally defining thing, that everybody has a set standard of tunes that everybody knows, that any person on the street would be able to sing for you. It was really amazing to see.
Sounds like what you learned is that once you get through all the other layers of all the other issues involving what country and what border, it sounds like what you're saying is that on that level of music, that people are pretty much people.
That's exactly right. There's a lot of English speakers in Pakistan, but not so much in the rest of the stand. So we had a translator with us. But there's a lot of scary things that happen in the world. But we didn't feel in danger once over there.
Hmm.
we're, you know, met with nothing but love and kindness. And particularly the people of Pakistan are just so embracing and so warm. And, you know, we didn't know what to expect when we went over there. Because we know that there's radical groups and, you know, that happens here on our own soil as well. Just terrible things happening. But, yeah, the people over there are amazing. And I think the purpose of this program, American Music Abroad, is to bring real people to real people instead of government officials and everything right. trying to do that job for us.
How long were you? How long was the band?
Diplomacy.
How long was the band over?
We're out there for 42 days.
Wow.
So 6 weeks, with about a week in each country, a little bit longer in Pakistan.
You know what?
We're out there working with children, working with Afghan refugees, putting on free public concerts, just meeting people. Going to schools, and it was great.
You know, you are drawing so many questions. There's a chat room that opens on Worldwide Bluegrass, and if you just tuned in, we're mm-hmm. talking to Kimber Ludeker from Della May, and this is Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass. There's my station ID, but you're getting so many questions from so many people. The question now in the chat room, and I miss half of them because I'm talking, is ask her about when she met Jana Kim, a banjo picker in Uzbekistan.
and I heard that she just moved to Kazakhstan, actually. But we met the only person in Central Asia who plays Scruggs-style bluegrass banjo. It was amazing. We got a note from her, and she said she discovered bluegrass on YouTube and learned, you know, she had a next little banjo,
really?
American Band banjo that, and it was really cool. Actually, if you go to YouTube, you can search for that, but her father had a video camera and made a little video of us meeting for the first time, and we got to pick a tune together, and it's the first time that she had ever gotten to hear live bluegrass or
wow.
meet any kind of musician. It's the first time that she was able to jam with bluegrass musicians.
Wow.
So it's just, you know, technology is such an amazing thing, and it's just really cool to see that there could be a little bluegrass movement happening in, you know, now Kazakhstan.
One of the stands. One of the many stands, yeah. Well,
yes.
I wonder
yeah, we met her in Uzbekistan.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's odd because Tom Neckville is going to be on in about half an hour, so I'm going to ask Tom if he
oh,
knew.
That's so cool. Yeah.
I'm going to ask Tom if he
yeah,
knew one
Jana,
of the bandages. Jana Kim.
Her name is Jana Kim.
All right.
And you can type in Jana Kim and Della May and see the video.
Oh, great. Okay.
Meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a great video on YouTube.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's pick out, just so I have a little bit of time between Tom. You want to pick out another tune that you would like to play for everyone? We've played Empire at the beginning of the show, and then we played A Letter from Down the Road and other things from this new album by Della May on Rounder called This World Oft Can Be. Can you think of another one that you'd like to pick out now?
Oh, it would
Whatever
be great. I guess now that we're on the topic of the world, maybe to play the title track, This World. Just thematically, it'd be good to hear that one.
That fits. All right, let's do that. Let's play This World Oft Can Be. And we'll play that tune. We'll be back with Kimber Ludeker. Kimber, why do I keep calling? Why do I leave the R off? I don't understand that. It's just Kimber Ludeker.
Just like in Boston, Kimber.
That's what it is. I'm watching you on the hoppa. That's what it is. I'm sorry, Kimber Ludeker. I got it now. All right, let's listen to This World Oft Can Be from the album of the same title from Della May on Rounder, and we'll be back in a second. All right, that was the title cut from This World Oft Can Be from Della May, and still have Kimber Ludeker on the phone. And Kimber, we've talked about your world travels, we've talked about the band, we've touched on your affinity and connection to Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival up in New York, where I will meet you all. I will meet all of you, I'll be available for that, and that'll be a blast, I can't wait for it. But what else do you have coming up down the road with the band? And I know you have a website, can they follow your tour schedule on that?
Yeah, DellaMay.com.
Okay.
And that'll point you to all kinds of fun stuff, I'm sure.
Okay.
Trying to get the new record and everything along with it.
It's all,
sure.
I can tell from talking to you that you're kind of like a long, you're very dedicated to this, but you're kind of like along for the ride. It's like, this is a pretty cool thing. And, you know, you start doing this recording, then you're in another part of the world, then you're back here and you're doing videos and you got a contract with Rounder. I think you're having a good time. I think the band is having a good time.
It's been a complete whirlwind, I think, you know, from starting the band and knowing just the amount of work and the amount of love that it's taken to get to the point that we are. I mean, I think the band probably almost ended maybe twice just because of the frustrations of getting something going. You know, it's really becoming a rare thing to see a group of young people starting something that's really great because you can't afford to do it. It's nearly impossible.
Oh, you're right. You know, you're right.
To be able to commit to something full time and be living in a city like Boston, you know, it's very rare to be able to get together with a group of friends and say, this is what we want to do and we're going to go after it, because you can't pay your bills. You know, there's so much work and time that goes into something to make it fruitful.
And you need the support of your family. And
definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, we did, for our first album, a crowdsourced way of funding the album. We used Kickstarter.com.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, we've had the most amazing fans and the most supportive people along for the ride with us, and we're so thankful every day to all of those people who have helped us and to continue going to shows and supporting live music. It's one of the most important things that you can do. You know, it's like the purest form of entertainment. There's no...
You know, we harp on that
no
all the time.
Screens.
No, we harp on that all the time. Live music is the place to go. I mean, get the albums, get the CDs, get whatever, but live music is really where it comes across and connects.
Yeah, and all of us, you know, we're right there with everyone else. We're sitting in the front row watching the Del McCurry Band after we get off stage at Grey Fox. Guarantee you. And there's no, you know, we are the ultimate music supporters, even though we're musicians, like on our time off. So far this year, we had a week off, and I went up to Weaver, Idaho for the National Fiddle Contest, and we have another week off, and I'm teaching a fiddle camp up in Michigan, and that's kind of, it's just our lives, you know? All of us are pretty crazy about music. And
so if somebody's up Grey Fox and you're going to be hanging around, you're going to be doing, are you doing workshops also up there?
Yeah, I just found out, actually, looking at the schedule, pretty much my dream workshop is my brother's band is going to be there. His band's called Milk Drive.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's another unforgettable name, Milk Drive. And they named it that. I said, Dennis, are you sure? It's not too late. You can change your mind. But it totally stuck, and, man, they're a great group of guys, and you won't meet better musicians. And yeah, they're incredible, but we got a workshop. It's called Ludapalooza. Dennis and Kimber Ludaker.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that.
It's a fun take on Lollapalooza. It's pretty clever.
Well, I will have time when I'm not, you know, doing stuff. I'll wander around and see as much as I can. It's all new to me, as I mentioned to you off the air. So, I'll look for you up there, and everybody should look for Della May and all the workshops, and then follow them on their website. And, you know, I got a feeling if you catch them live, you're going to be really happy that you did.
Yeah, it's such a fun band. I love, you know, being able to, every night that we have a show, I'm so impressed by the girls in the band. They're the best. You know, Celia Woodsmith, our lead singer, she has one of the best set of pipes in the world. Like, she's so good. I think what makes our band really work and what makes us want to get out there is that we have such a mutual respect and admiration for each other as bandmates. And, you know, we're just having a great time.
Good.
I met Celia. Actually, the band was probably about to end about 6 months after it started. And you know, we were losing a bandmate. And I met Celia in a bar, actually, which sounds funny, but I was kind of hired to play fiddle, hired to play fiddle for this session. It's like a blues and bluegrass kind of thing at the Burr in Cambridge, Massachusetts, or in Somerville, rather. And I've got out my fiddle, and there's this girl sitting across from me with a guitar, and she starts singing, and I was just like, holy goodness. She's awesome. And the band, that was about the same time I was starting the band, and we actually started performing one of her songs, Jamie Dear, that's on our first record, when she wasn't in the band. And about the time that we were just going through some hard things and losing a band member, I was like, hey, Celia, do you want to grab a cup of coffee? And she was just ending things with the band that she was in, and she thought maybe she wanted to join the Peace Corps or go back to school, or, you know, she was kind of quitting music.
Wow.
And I said, and this is where Gray Fox comes back around.
Oh, yeah.
I said, you know, I'm really looking for somebody, a strong lead singer in the band, and we have all of these festivals booked this summer, and would you consider, you know, I told her, you know, we're not booking very much, we're not, you know, sure what was going to happen with the band, but we have these gigs, can you commit to them? And I started saying festivals, and Gray Fox Festival is mentioned, and she goes, okay, I'll do it.
Well, there you go.
She had gone to Gray Fox every year for like the past 6 years, and she actually was a volunteer working for Artist Hospitality.
Oh.
And it had been a dream of hers because the festival is so great. You know, she's like, I want to play Gray Fox someday. I want to play Gray Fox. And she basically took the gig with Della May to get a Gray Fox gig.
Great.
Or that's what we tease her about, but. But she, you know, that was a big draw for her. She really wanted to do that, and then, she was a great fit for the band. And
then next thing, you're around the world, and you're back again, and you're coming back to Gray Fox. Happy circumstances, I think, don't you think?
I know, yeah. I know. It's kind of a family reunion for us.
Yeah.
You know, when we book the festival, we say, you know, we're not going to book anything else that whole weekend. We'll be there for the whole weekend, but can we please only play like 1 or 2 days because we want to, you know, soak it up and have fun.
Oh, the lineup.
It's not one of those weekends. Yeah, it's not one of those weekends we're trying to book multiple festivals.
Yeah. Oh, the lineup is so incredible. Yeah, the lineup is so incredible. Yeah. Well, good.
So we take all of our camping gear and we set up a camp and we pick all night. Everybody in the band. It's amazing.
Well, I'm a first timer, so, this is all going to be new to me on many respects, but I can't wait to get up there and see what's going on.
I envy you. I envy the way you're going to feel when you walk in there for the first time.
All right. Well, listen.
You're going to love it.
I think that I will. There's no reason that I won't. Everything that I've read and seen and heard, I think that, it's going to be a blast. So I will find you up there. You'll find me. I'll find the band. We'll talk and we'll just do whatever. And
cool.
I can't wait. So, hey, Kimber, thanks so much for hanging out for a while, and I'll let you get back.
Yeah,
I know
thanks
you're,
for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And then we'll see you in a couple weeks with the entire band, and we'll just chat and catch up on some stuff. Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
Great.
Thanks, Kimber Ludeker of Della May. And you're listening to Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on Worldwide Bluegrass. We're going to play some tunes, and I'll catch up with Tom Neckville of Neckville Banjos in just a bit. See you later, Kimber.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.